Running a business is hard enough. Don't make it harder with a dozen apps that don't talk to each other. One for sales, another for inventory, a separate one for accounting. That's software overload. Odoo is the all-in-one platform that replaces them all. CRM, accounting, inventory, e-commerce, HR. Fully integrated, easy to use, and built to grow with your business. Thousands have already made the switch. Why not you? Try Odoo for free at odoo.com. That's odoo.com.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. Anabe sofas combine ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. Anabe has designed the only fully machine washable sofa from top to bottom. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Sofas start at just $699. And right now, get early access to Black Friday savings, up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Off and running in today's edition of Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Sirius Channel 159, Lisi and Wetzel kicking it around for the next hour. The NFL is on the horizon. Week number 7, big game tomorrow night, Denver and New Orleans. But Scott, we didn't get a chance to talk about the two moves that were made yesterday in regards to the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets, AFC potential contenders, challenging both with wide receiver help. Devontae Adams goes with his former counterpart Aaron Rodgers to New York, and Amari Cooper now with Josh Allen in Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Adams one is the bigger one, right? I don't know how much Cooper really has left. Well, if you take out some of the highlights of Cleveland's games this year, you know, one drop pass after another, and he was just as much the culprit as anyone else was. So never really, you know, a good player, never great. You know, even his days back in Dallas or with the Raiders when he came in, Joe, just, I don't know, ever really kind of lived up to all the hype that we thought he would be. But like I said, decent player, but I never considered him great, not a Hall of Fame player by any stretch. He's not a number one wide receiver at any point, at this point anyway, in his career. So, but it'll help Buffalo. Let's face it, it'll help the Bills. As far as the Jets, I'm still waiting for that thing to...
You don't believe Cooper's a legitimate number one? He was the Raiders.
No. He was never. No one's staying awake at night worried about Amari Cooper. No, good gosh, no. You know, he's not.
Well,
he's not
Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson, but.
Yeah, or, you know, keep the list going, you know, or Ty Hill or Devontae Adams or Billy Bob Jones. You know, I mean,
he's down the list there. He's a poor man's number one. And that fits right into Buffalo, doesn't it, Scotty?
Yeah, exactly. You know, never doing the right thing. Well, they tried to do the right thing with Stephon Diggs. By the way, you know, the draft choice that they traded away to Minnesota for Stephon Diggs ended up being Justin Jefferson. So just, you know, throw a little more salt on the wounds for Bills fans. But yeah, okay, listen, they had to make a move, I suppose. But here's the thing, Joe. Now, let's just be fair on all sides. But if you're going to make a trade because you need a wide receiver and you have, you know, Amari Cooper out there and Devontae Adams out there, which one are you choosing? Right? I mean, you're telling me Buffalo wouldn't give up a lousy third round pick, and that's what it'll be, right? The Jets aren't going to the AFC championship game. He's not making it all pro. He's missed too many games. So it's going to be a lousy third round pick. So, but the hook is that, you know, he's owed $36 million and maybe he's willing to renegotiate that for the Jets because of his boy Aaron Rodgers, but he may have told other teams, no, I'm not renegotiating that. So it is what it is. It's $36 million if you want me for next year. So maybe that's why they settled on Amari Cooper.
Yeah, well, no, you're right. You're absolutely right in regards to that. But let's talk about Adams, because even though he's the better of the wide receivers, I don't think this helps New York in any way. I don't think the offensive issues are the concern. I really think it's a locker room situation. And I honestly believe that the defense now could take a minor step back. That game on Monday night, Scott, the first drive, sweet baby Werry Davis was running, and that offensive line was getting a push on that front seven all night, right? So who's to say that the defense now maybe at a top 10 level before, you know, with Robert Saleh there, doesn't tail off in the second half of the season?
Oh, I think that could definitely be the case. So that was my number one concern with the firing of Saleh, you know, that the right. split in the locker room. And I think making a trade for Davante Adams, knowing that you also, oh, by the way, have a defensive guy there, Hassan Reddick, who's ready to join the team if you're willing to pay him, excuse me, and you're not willing to pay him, but you're willing to go pay for another offensive guy. You know, defense hasn't necessarily been the right. problem. It's been the offense, and yet you fire our defensive guy because your offense is having issues, and now you're going to go get another offensive guy
right.
when you're not willing to placate to our defensive guy that we need? I could definitely see there being a rift in that locker room. They better start winning these next 2-3 games because then it'll right. really, you know, winning solves everything. But if you don't win the next couple of games, Joe, I could definitely see that being an issue there, especially with a rookie interim head coach.
I agree, Scotty. And that's the biggest thing is like, okay, Aaron Rodgers is getting his guy yet again. If things go south, it's like, how much more can Aaron Rodgers get and still not perform? And let's be honest, he was the reason why they lost against Minnesota. The defense kept him in it. He throws 3 interceptions. Now, great, maybe one of them was tipped. But when the game was on the line, he throws the interception that cost his team the victory. Same thing Monday night. They're driving. They have the football. Okay, Mike Williams falls down, but still, you didn't put your team in a position to win that ball game. And his interception is the reason why the New York Jets lost. So the more times that this happens, how do you know Sauce Gardner? How do you know Garrett Wilson are going to look and be like, hey, Aaron, you've gotten everything you wanted now. The coach is gone. You got all your guys, and we're still losing, you know, games. When is it going to stop? And then all of a sudden, that continuity, that kumbaya that they had in preseason, that's gone.
Yeah. And don't forget the Denver game, Joe, where they had the ball not once but twice in the final 3 minutes to be able to win the game, needing only a field goal, and Rodgers didn't come through. So it's really been 3 games that he's had an opportunity to win football games, and he hasn't been able to come through. So, yeah, and if you have Garrett Wilson, who's already bitching and complaining about not getting the ball enough, what's it going to be when you're bringing Davante Adams? I mean, there's a whole lot of mending of fences in that Jet locker room that I just don't have the confidence with an interim head coach, especially, albeit guys that they apparently like, but still, an interim head coach, I don't think they're going to get that fixed. I really don't.
You know, I don't think so either. Do you look at them big picture now, contender or pretender? Because I don't think they even come close to the 7.5 win total now. They could lose, Scotty, their next 3 or 4 games. They are not easy. Pittsburgh, New England, Miami, Houston.
Yeah, well, New England, they should win against the Patriots, right?
But like, and the Dolphins have a backup quarterback. Yeah, but you can't say that.
Right. The Jets are no longer in a position to look at the schedule and say win, loss. You know, you can't. They can lose to anybody. They can lose to Denver at home, right, with a rookie quarterback who at that point had made, what, 2 starts, then they could lose to anybody. You know, they certainly can. So you can't put down automatic W against anybody. So I think they can get to maybe 8, but I don't think they're a playoff team. That I don't think, you know, so they're pretenders. Their odds, Joe, dropped from 190-1 to win the Super Bowl to 30-1 after that trade.
Ridiculous.
I've never seen a drop like that for a wide receiver before.
Unbelievable. It's amazing. Now, I do believe with the addition of Cooper, even though you might not love him, he's going to be an added benefit for Josh Allen at +850 to win the Super Bowl. I think that has life. +450 to win the AFC. I think that's alive. I think those are doable numbers for the Buffalo Bills. I did feel that they were a contender at the start of the year. I know in back-to-back games against Houston and Baltimore, Josh Allen looked pathetic under 200 yards. But now with Cooper, that should open up things in regards to the passing attack. That should open up potentially Keon Coleman to live up to his potential. Kincaid, James Cook when he's healthy. You have Ray Davis. I mean, everything is there for the Buffalo Bills to potentially make a run. It's not going to hurt their development to take on Amari Cooper, big picture.
No, it won't hurt them. But will it really help them? You know, are you going to dedicate two defensive backs to guard Amari Cooper? I don't think so at this point in his career. His over-under number was actually less than 1,000 this season. And the only reason he got his numbers last year is because Joe Flacco came on and started throwing the football. So I am curious to see what he has actually left. I don't think it's going to be that much. There's a reason why they got him for basically nothing, right? I mean, as easy as the Jets got him, Davante Adams, you know, for a lousy third-round pick, what, they have to give up a sixth-rounder, and they even got a seventh-rounder back, you know, from Cleveland in addition to Cooper? I mean, you got him for just take on a salary. You take a salary, he's all yours. That's what the Cleveland Browns thought of Amari Cooper. So, you know, the Browns are, you know, one of those teams that you would think is still trying to win. So why are they giving up on this guy so easily?
We'll see. Another quarterback potential situation brewing with Russell Wilson and the Pittsburgh Steelers taking first-team reps. Steelers and Jets will square off. We'll dive right into week number 7 next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Back on Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Lisi and Wetzel diving into week number 7. We talked about the situation with Justin Fields briefly. Scotty, I'll just get your opinion. Love it, hate it, or where are you at with the situation developing in Pittsburgh? Jets and Steelers on deck.
Oh, love it. Love it. I told you that. I've been saying this for weeks between you and Ben both. You're both stubborn Justin Fields fans. I don't get it. We're the only two Justin Fields fans in the history of the NFL right here on Sports Grid. It's amazing. He stinks, Joe. It is amazing. Yeah. Right. I mean, you can't continue to win games throwing for 140 yards, and that's what the Steelers have done. But we've been down this road before with Pittsburgh, and I think that's the key. You know, the common man is saying, oh, you're winning games, so you got to keep Justin Fields in there. Yeah, you won games with Kenny Pickett. Where did that get you thrown for 150 yards? You won games with Mitch Trubisky, for goodness sakes. You got to the playoffs. You know, and Mason Rudolph, that combination got you to the postseason, throwing for 150 yards. Where'd that get you in the postseason? Nowhere. They've been down this road before. They've seen this. Yeah, they're having some success, wins and losses. But it's not going to equate to wins and losses come postseason. The bigger picture is Russell Wilson was brought in to win a Super Bowl. He's going to get every opportunity to do just that. They're 4-2. Then a nice move, you know, letting him heal. Didn't have to rush him back. But ultimately, they're going to go as far as Russell Wilson will take them. So I am all in on Russell Wilson being the starting quarterback.
Okay, so Russell Wilson couldn't bring a Super Bowl to Denver with an elite defense, right? And basically threw for multiple games for under 200 yards last year, even though he had a great quarterback. TD to interception ratio, that's all well and good. Secondly, he's not going to run like Justin Fields. Justin Fields, 2 rushing touchdowns yet again at 55 yards. What happens when the offensive line breaks down? There's an added dimension to the offense, Scotty, that you lose with Russell Wilson under center. Secondly, is if Justin Fields, 4-2, 3 of those wins came on the road, okay? So that matters to me. More than anything, can you win on the road? I don't care how you do it. Can you win in a tough environment? And I'll throw one more at you. If the Steelers, let's say, do start just Russell Wilson, they lose 2 games, then what? You go from 4-2 to 4-4 with a quarterback that would then be 0-2. What's your answer then?
You know, listen, if you go 0-2, but you lose 33-30, then you know what? He's going to stay in as quarterback. If you go 0-2 and lose, you know, 17-13, then I'll take him out of the lineup.
Then you're going to take him back out of the lineup? So we cost our team 2 losses, but here we go. Now we really have your starting quarterback, Justin Fields. What message does that send?
Well, what message did it send? You know, they're behind the eight ball from the get-go, Joe. Don't forget, both of these guys are on one-year contracts. I mean, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Do you want really Justin Fields to do well? So you got to give him a three-year, we'll say, or Danny Nichols the contract that the Giants gave him. I don't want any commitment to Justin Fields. No, thank you. I understand why they got him, but I don't want to commit that kind of money to him. He can't throw, okay, Joe. You're not gonna beat Cincinnati. You're not gonna beat Kansas City. Heck, you're not even gonna beat the Chargers or even the Buffalo Bills playing like that in the postseason. Right. You gotta be able to drop back and throw the football.
Well, let's talk about the game Sunday night then with the New York Jets. They're catching 1.5. Jets on the road, catching 1.5. Big bad Aaron, turnover prone. He's got Devontae Adams, an interim staff. And you're going to take who? I love the Steelers. Oh. If Russell Wilson starts, I don't love it.
But you're still going to take him.
No, right? I'm not. No.
Oh, you're not putting hard-earned American money on the Jets against Pittsburgh and that defense with 90-year-old Aaron Rodgers?
If Russell Wilson starts, I'm playing the under because I don't think you're going to get this 35-point output like everybody, believes that you're going to see in terms of Pittsburgh. No way, no how.
No, you might not get 35, but I bet you get 20-plus. Justin Fields has never won a football game against a team that scored 20 points or more. He's like 0-22.
That's not on him.
It means he can't score. It means that whenever you get into a shootout, like you're going to get with Kansas City, like you're going to get with Buffalo, like you're going to get with Cincinnati and Baltimore, it means he can't score with those guys. He only wins games 20-17, not 27-20.
He was on the Chicago Bears with no weapons outside of DJ Moore. You got to be kidding me.
Bears look pretty good this year with Caleb Williams.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they have DeAndre.
300 yards with those same wide receivers. Same wide receiver. Yeah. A rookie quarterback is thrown for 300 yards every game.
Keenan Allen was there last year. Hang on.
He's nothing. He's over the hill. He hasn't helped that at all.
I know. He's played two new games offensive coordinator. I know. All of a sudden now, right? Here we go. He had
same goofy head coach. It's the same goofball head coach.
Luke Getsy, right? He had. Will you stop? All right.
Did you put like American money on him at Ohio State? So you're forever like,
no,
I mean, he stinks.
He's an above average quarterback in my opinion.
No, he's not.
He is.
He's a benefit of the NFL rule. That's what he is.
No,
he's
judge the quarterback just
you can't
passing,
breathe on
Scott.
Quarterback. You can't you breathe can't. On quarterback so they could all run up and down the field because you can't hit them high, you can't hit them low, can't hit them late, can't land on them, can't put them on sideways.
Jalen Hurts is no good either, right? Jalen Hurts is no good, right?
Oh, I didn't see that. Why did
Jalen
you bring
Hurts
him as a
is no good. Lamar Jackson is
how many,
is not
how
mobile.
Many scrambling quarterbacks whose main ammo is scrambling have won Super Bowls? Zero.
And then
Joe. There's a reason for that. Yes, because you can't win on a big-time level like that. And Pittsburgh is Super Bowl or bust, whether they're really close to that or not, right? Certain teams are Super Bowl or bust. Steelers are one of them. All those great scrambling quarterbacks over the years, none of them have ever won Super Bowls because you can't win
I'll find one. I'll be able to.
Mahomes is the only one, but he's a thrower. He's not. He can scramble. There are guys that can scramble, but I'm talking about passer, thrower. You're a runner. You don't win.
All right, we'll see. We'll dive right into that Thursday night matchup, Broncos Saints. Coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
All right, back on Football Full Circle. We're going to dive into that Thursday matchup. But Scott, what about Steve Young? Mobile?
I didn't say that these guys aren't necessarily mobile.
Yeah, you said no mobile quarterback has ever won a Super Bowl. He dominated the the San Diego Chargers back in the day, and he could run.
Listen, you and I could have won Super Bowls in San Francisco.
You're wrong. Chop.
Top 15 rushing quarterbacks in NFL history. Let's count up their Super Bowls. Michael Vick, 0. Lamar Jackson, 0. Cam Newton, 0. Russell Wilson, and that's where I thought you were going to go. You know, he is, you know, a scrambler, you know, passer. He's like a 50-50 guy. He's not on the list.
That was 10 years ago. Right. But we'll just leave it at that. We'll leave it at that. Let's dive into the third.
Randall Cunningham, 0. Josh Allen, 0. Fran Tarkenton, 0. Up and down the line, they're all 0, 0, 0, 0. All the great players, they're all going to end up in a Hall of Fame.
Who do you want to throw in there? Crazy Legs Hirsch while you're at it? Come on. All right, let's go. We got a big game on Thursday night. We'll rip through some of these games.
Big.
Denver and New Orleans. Sean Payton comes home to New Orleans with Big Ben, Bo Nix, coming off the loss to L.A. and the Chargers. They were a three-point dog. You got Spencer Rattler. New Orleans, right? He threw it 40 times in regards to that matchup. They lose it. They 51-27, they had the 27-24 lead. 2.5, 36.5. Part of me wants to take this over, but I don't know if I could do it. The reason why is because Dennis Allen allowed Rattler to throw it 40 times. They got blown out. Now it's probably run, and we'll try to grind out a win 17-13. I'll take a shot. I like Denver here. I just think they have the slightly better defense on the road, and I believe more in Peyton than I do Dennis Allen. I'll lay it, and I'll lean to the under, but we'll see.
Yeah, you know, what's weird about that game, Joe, is that they did get 27 points, so that's the positive, right? All 27 came in the second quarter. That's bizarre. Nothing in the first, nothing in the second half, not even garbage time when it was a three-score game. So I'm a little leery, you know, that now that you have a book on a guy, just a little bit, but at least you got some tape on him and what they wanted to do. I'm tending to lean with Denver as well. The under is so low, 37.5 points. It's hard to go under on that. It is, especially after watching the shootout they had. But more times than not, when you have shootouts one week, unexpected shootouts, it regresses back to what it really was supposed to be. So I'm leaning more towards a 20-17, 20-14 type of game. And Denver, which has already run twice on the road this year, they play better on the road than they have at home. Yeah. So I got no qualms about that. And I do like going with the team who has the coach who's going back. Like I don't think the Saints are all pumped up to face Sean Payton, right? What do they care? Well, who cares? Most of these players weren't ever there. But Sean Payton's pumped up, and so he's going to get his players extra pumped up if they like him, and I think they do. So a little mental edge for Denver as well, so I'll go with the Broncos.
All right, so we're in agreement there. Let's look at the game in London. You got Jacksonville State out there. They got dominated by Caleb Williams. They were a 1.5-point favorite. Then they were a dog. Then they were a favorite. Didn't matter. That was a pathetic performance by Trevor Lawrence and the crew. We got Gerard Mayo and now new quarterback Drake May that got blown out by 20 points by Houston, 41-21. 42.5 is the total. I'll take a shot with New England here, plus the 5.5. I don't love it, but I think in this situation, I think Jacksonville's half checked out. I don't even think about this. They're 1-5. Now you're in London for 2 weeks. Last year, it was great when you're winning. When you're losing and you have a lame duck coach and Doug Peterson, you want to get out of Dodge. I'll take Gerard Mayo, first year head coach. Maybe he gets something out of Drake May. I'll take the 5.5 and I'll lean to the over, but I don't love it.
Yeah, I don't like the over at all, but I would lean towards the point. It's a rare game, Joe, in the NFL where I think I'll take the points, but I think the team's actually going to lose. Like, I'm surprised. 5.5. What is Jacksonville being a 5.5-point favorite, right? I mean, that's crazy. So I think the Wings will keep this close. We're going to find out about, you know, Doug Peterson and how well the players like him, because there's a lot of buzz about if he loses now, that means he would lose back-to-back games against rookie quarterbacks after losing this past week. You know, there's been a lot of teams that have fired their head coaches when they come back for these London trips. They get a week off. That's the time to do it. I think Jacksonville wins, but I would lay the 5.5. I'll take the points with the Patriots to keep it close.
Too rich for my blood. When we come back, AFC Showdown, Titans and Bills up on deck. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Diving into week number 7 of the NFL, Lisi and Wetzel, we left off talking about Doug Peterson and the situation in Jacksonville. 1-5, they do get Drake May and the New England Patriots in London. 5.5-point favorites, 42.5. Scotty and I both like New England somehow, some way to keep it close. Let's dive into this game in Buffalo, right? So Amari Cooper is going to be there for the Buffalo Bills. They're 8.5-point home favorites over Will Levis and Tennessee. This is an amazing number right now. 41.5, Scotty, is the total. It's juiced to the under at minus 120. Buffalo, I mean, we know how dominant they are at home, right? I can't back Tennessee. I back Cleveland with the 8.5, right? Last week against the Eagles, just because I knew that 2 weeks ago, Washington, Cleveland, there were a bunch of short players. Oh, you got to take Cleveland. They're ripe. They got smashed in regards to that matchup. And I just knew 3 straight road games, right? But nobody was going to back Cleveland in that type of situation. And I feel that they could have made it ugly. They did, and they stole a cover. I don't know about Tennessee and Will Levis. I have no optimism that he can find the right people. Calvin Ridley had no catches last week. That's your number one guy. How is it that your starting quarterback can't get the ball to your main wide receiver? That is the only way you could back an 8.5-point dog. It's Buffalo or bust for me. I think I would take a shot on the over because he is a turnover machine. And you got to believe with that defense, he can maybe give Buffalo 10 to 13 points.
Yeah, as long as the weather's okay, you know, you got to believe Buffalo wants to put a monster number on the board after they struggle so badly in the red zone against the Jets, right? 72 wins for Josh Allen, 52 by a touchdown or more. So when he wins, you know, and we all know that they're not going to lose in Buffalo, right? I mean, that's forget about even bringing that up. So you know they're going to win. So now is it just you're going to cover the monster number? And I think there's going to be a little regression here, Joe. We all heard about the numbers, right? With 3-18 it was for 6-point dogs or better the first 5 weeks of the season, or 4 weeks actually. Had a couple of, touchdown favorites cover last week. I think that's going to flip. So I'll use that for more reasoning and why I think Buffalo as well. And just hope you don't get the oh, by the way, touchdown. And I don't think you're going to get it. Will Levis is so bad. The one thing I would play is the Calvin Ridley, you mentioned at props. You know, he's bitching and complaining, and rightfully so, I suppose. He's not getting it. Not only is he not making any receptions, Joe, they're not even throwing him the football. They're not even calling
That's
plays for him. It doesn't make any sense.
I know.
Yeah, these defensive coordinators are just dopes. I mean, it goes back to the Keyshawn Johnson days of, your number one overall pick and you're not going to throw me the ball, but you're going to throw it to Wayne Prebet, who's a great guy. I know him. It just doesn't make any sense. Well, would you go out and go pay the guy a gazillion dollars for if you're not even going to call plays for him?
I agree 100%.
I would play his over prop, but I like Buffalo too.
Would you take him? See, now this is where I get crazy. I'm bashing Will Levis. Would you take Ridley up to 80? He throws for 150 yards again. Can we get Ridley up to 80? I mean, I altered him, and I altered him to 60 last week, and I'm watching first quarter, second quarter, stuck on zero. All right, it's okay. Third quarter, zero. How does this happen? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if we can get him up to 80. His 80 number.
If you get a shootout. If you not necessarily a shootout, but if you can get Buffalo to jump out to a 14-17 lead, then you got automatic throw in the football for Tennessee, and it's going to help your chances, right?
Right. So his 80 plus number is probably going to be 5-1, Scott. His number might be 20, or it might be 31 in this game. You got to believe that, right?
Yeah, that's a pretty again, knowing that he was complaining. You have to think that the rookie head coach, especially now, is going to acquiesce to him and say, yeah, I guess we do need to get you to football somehow, some way, right? Even if it's like, 5-yard screen passes, just get him the ball. So right. I like
it's
that.
Almost like a high
he's going to be
coach.
On my prop radar.
It's almost like a high school coach. We haven't, you don't have any catches? right? You know, we don't. We didn't get you to football. How do you not know your main guy?
I'm on the bench here. Here I am, coach. You know, right? What is the offensive coordinator doing?
Yeah, I don't know. So, it's crazy. It's amazing how these guys get paid millions and they don't know their star wideout has no catches in regards to the matchup. So possibly the best game on the weekend is Houston on the road against Green Bay. You got C.J. Stroud. They won for the first time against New England. I believe they were 0-6 or 0-7 against the Patriots dating back to, like, you know, I think 2006 whenever they started playing. But now they're playing with a little bit of house money. Back-to-back wins over Buffalo and last week over Drake May. Defense is playing well. They get potentially some help back in the secondary, and they're facing a red-hot Green Bay team with Jordan Love back at the helm. They lost his first game against Minnesota. They've strung back-to-back games against the Rams, and last week a huge win and cover over Kyler and Arizona, laying 2.5 against C.J. Stroud. This is a light number if you think about it. It is back-to-back road games. I do like the over 47.5, Scott. I don't see, unless it's going to be rainy and a muddy track, give me the over. And you know what? I think I might take the points with C.J. Stroud and Houston on the road.
Yeah. You know, and again, kind of like with last week, where, you know, a lot of these 1 o'clock games, Joe, are great. I don't know what they have, you know, 4 o'clock, you know, why we had Atlanta, Carolina last week, 4 o'clock is still a great mystery to me, but too bad this one is a 1 o'clock game as well. They should have flexed this one to 4 o'clock. I'm going to go with the points. Green Bay is a cover machine, especially at home. I get all that. It's just a mano type of game. Who's the best team? And I think Houston is the better team. So I would buy the hook. I'd bump it up to 3 for sure. I wouldn't just settle on 2.5. I'll pay the extra price to make it a full field goal. But I'll take my chances with Houston. I like this Houston team. Mixon supposedly will be back this week as well for the Texans. So that'll help. They're a loaded team. They really are. And they play better, although they covered last week as a favorite. They play better, at least C.J. Stroud numbers-wise, is better as an underdog than he is as a favorite. So this is almost like the perfect spot for them.
Would you back a big picture if they get this win, Houston? Big picture, would you buy in now on the Texans maybe? I know they were the darlings this year, you know, for the AFC. They were a Super Bowl contender. They had better odds than Cincinnati at the start of the year. Would you buy in now if they string back-to-back wins over the Bills? Obviously, Patriots, but this win over the Pack?
Well, you'd have to, right? I mean, I kind of have already, you know, especially when I see the teams like Cincinnati and Miami. Yeah, well, you know what? There's so many teams in the AFC that really probably aren't going to be any good that we thought might be, whether it's Cleveland or Cincinnati or Miami. You know, they're kind of like the Buffalo, clearly, even though they won, they're not the same Buffalo Bills team, with or without Amari Cooper, right? So it's kind of like last man standing. If it's not them or Kansas City, you want to say Baltimore? I just don't have any faith in Lamar. So, but those would be the big three in the AFC.
You know what's amazing? They have a plus 550 price to win the championship, right? And they're plus 450 to have the number one seed. So I almost feel like that's like, why would you take them for the number one seed as opposed to taking the 550 for the championship, right? You're not getting,
I mean, number one. They play Kansas City.
Which,
that helps because they're two back.
Right, Kansas City's minus 160 right now. Minus 160. Yeah. Texans are second best choice, a plus 450. Ravens, a 7-1. Bills, it's plus 750. Steelers, would you take a shot on the Steelers? Forget the quarterback situation. All right, let's just look at the team. To be the number one seed, 32-1, Scotty.
Yeah, but that's, you know, listen, if Kansas City wins this week in San Francisco, and I'm hoping they don't, there's not a whole heck of a lot left. You know, one or two game Houston's on there, but they would have to lose three times. They're not losing three times after this San Fran game if they win.
All right, we'll have to.
Houston, maybe.
All right, we'll take a look. When we come back, we'll talk some 4 o'clock games right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
All right, continuing the conversation of the Week 7 breakdowns, we left off talking about the AFC championship odds as well as number one seed in the conference. We talked about and left off about the Steelers, 32-1. We'll dive back into some of the 4 o'clocks for week number 7. Let's dive right into it. Rematch of the Super Bowl. Scott, we got KC on the road in San Fran. San Fran coming off the Thursday night win over Seattle, 1.5-point home favorites. 47.5 is the total. You got to believe that they got to be amped up, right? Shanahan and San Francisco, this is a situation where they're probably going to be, wouldn't you say, more into it? Not that Kansas City's not, because they're undefeated, but what I'm saying is, you know, the revenge factor really comes into play for San Francisco. This is the first time that they're seeing them since they lost that game in overtime. 1.5, I'm going to take Kansas City on the road. I do like the total here. I think this is one game we could get into the 50s this coming weekend.
Yeah, always like playing with the teams, I will say, though, that lose versus the team that won when you face them the next year. Yeah, because of that mental edge. You know, is Kansas City all pumped up to face San Francisco? You know, not especially, right? But is San Fran have that all extra edge to face a Kansas City team they felt they should have beaten the Super Bowl? Absolutely. So there's always that little edge to teams that face them that lost the preceding year. So, but that said, you want to give me points and Patrick Mahomes, especially, you know, clearly last year's San Fran team was better than what we have right now, you know, just because of Christian McCaffrey not being there. So if San Fran couldn't beat them then, you know, how are they going to beat them now? You know, if San Fran couldn't beat Arizona, you know, 2 weeks ago, let alone, you know, Kansas City, how are they going to beat the Chiefs? So this Chiefs team, it's a dangerous game. They got a couple of games. They got Houston. They got a road game at Pittsburgh on their schedule. So they got a few others, Joe, but being a fellow Dolphin fan, you know, you beat San Fran. Now you go to 7-0. Now all of a sudden, undefeated talk comes in. They got the Raiders next week. They're going to win that game. You get to the halfway point of the season undefeated, and now the goal becomes, okay, let's really try and win every single game. So I'm a little worried. I got to put the black cloud of bet Kansas City, but hopefully I'm wrong, but I get a feeling I won't be.
I agree. So we'll see how that plays out. I mean, I like Kansas City, but I think – we could sail through that total. It's actually a really good week of NFL action. I mean, I know you like the 1 o'clock slate. I actually like the 4 o'clock slate slightly better just because I like my picks more. There's more competitive games, I believe, in the 1 o'clock window. We have Cincinnati and Cleveland. We have divisional games, Detroit, Minnesota. But you look at some of the 4 o'clock action. We'll talk about it. Carolina, again, in the 4 o'clock window, at 4:05 against Jaden Daniels and Washington. Washington went toe-to-toe with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. They within striking distance, you know, they trail by double digits, made it a game. They lose but don't cover the 6.5-point number. Carolina on the road, Scott, +8.5. I don't love Carolina. I hate Andy Dalton, but 8.5 is a huge – give me Carolina – and I think we sail, and I mean sail, through the 51.5. I don't see any way this game goes under.
Yeah, you know, I know numbers 50 or higher are predominantly under bets, believe it or not. You know, overwhelming, like 3-1 over the last 3 years, right? But you're right, Dallas, it's hard to go
although
under.
Dallas, Detroit sneaked over the total. It was 56, yes. And that total was, I believe, closed at 52.5, right?
Yeah, yep. Yeah, that was what, and Washington last week against Baltimore, that last field goal there to cut it to 30-23, pushed that one over, and that one closed at 50.5. So you do get some, you know, it's not an automatic 100%. Nothing is in gambling, so, but it is hard. Unless Andy Dalton just doesn't score at all. That would be the only way, but I think that Washington defense is so bad that it would be hard-pressed for him not to have some success. He has thrown some. Does he get hurt? Do they, you know, fall behind 21-0? Then they put Bryce Young in. You know, eventually he's going to get back in there right somewhere along the line.
I love Jaden Daniels.
That would spell under.
I love Jaden Daniels. I do. And I think he's definitely Rookie of the Year in terms of my vote, right? And I think Washington is definitely a contender, even though they lost last week. But they shouldn't be laying 8.5. 8.5 is a huge home, right? And I got to believe that even though Carolina got, you know, would they lose by 18, 38, 20 over Kirk Cousins?
It was misleading final. Yeah, whatever. That was like a one-score game. Most of the game was a one-score game.
And
then they just kind of screwed up.
Number. There might be one of my better bets for the weekend, so we'll see how that plays out. Raiders and Rams. Before, Rams are a seven-point home favorite over the Raiders, right? They have many issues. Aiden O'Connell looked like a deer in the headlights, even though he played last year. I don't know what he was thinking last week against the Steelers. Can the Rams get, and I know the Rams have had injuries, can they get back into this thing? I think they can. I still think they have great value, big picture. They beat San Francisco. Could they go on a little bit of a roll here?
They can, you know, especially knowing that San Fran at 3-3 is in first place and they got Kansas City. I mean, they could be back to under 500. Now, all of a sudden, you know, the Rams with one less game with the bye, you know, if they're winning this week, they're 2-4, they're right there. I mean, it's amazing how bad the NFC, or at least some divisions are anyway. I won't say completely. The NFC's actually improved this year.
Let me ask you this.
Definitely still in it.
Okay, so I'm high on the Rams preseason. You're getting a 65-1 number to win the NFC. 65, with a quarterback that's won a Super Bowl and a coach. And if they get Puka and Kupp back at some point during the year, they're going to be back to full strength. You're telling me 65, I would buy that number right now. 65, you're not going to get any cheaper than, obviously, if they lose to the Raiders by, you know, 10 points and they go on a streak. But see, if they win this week, to your point, and they're right there, a game or two behind San Francisco, knowing that they already beat them head-to-head. 65-1 is a great price.
Yeah, that is a good number. Now, listen, that would take some serious role. I think more modestly, you know, make the playoffs. I bet you're getting a halfway decent number for them to make the postseason, which I think they could do.
I'll tell you right now. Would you say Rams to make the playoffs plus 790? 790.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's not – I think maybe 4-1. That's not bad, Joe. I mean,
maybe we should jump on that. All right, so maybe we should jump on it. We'll wrap up week number 7, coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Back on Football Full Circle, Scott and I left off talking about that price to make the playoffs for the LA Rams plus 790, Scott, which, you know what? You're probably not going to get that if they get back to 500, right? If they get back to 500, you're most likely looking at probably, I would say, maybe anywhere from like 250 to maybe what, 180 at that point, because it's Stafford, it's McVay. Let's see if there's a similar price, and I'm curious, because Cincinnati is plus 112 to make the playoffs. Ooh. Plus 112. They got two wins. They got two wins, Scott.
They're lucky to have that.
But that's what I'm saying. It's a similar situation, isn't it? Similar teams. You have Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, right? That started 1-4. They get the victory over the New York Giants. They're 2-4. That we know what the Rams are. They're beat up, but yet they're in a position to make a run. They're most likely going to get a win over the Raiders this weekend. Plus 790. I'm going to probably do it after the show. Take a shot. Plus 790. Because I do believe in this team big picture.
Well, I tell you, a lot of that plays a role of the AFC just not being that good this year, Joe. Like we talked about, all those teams we thought were going to be good are, and really there's none of them that really are, are Dolphin fans optimistic or Browns fans? I mean, they're trading away one of their best wide receivers. A 3-3 team in the AFC right now is making the playoffs. NFC, you got all the surprise teams. You know, who figured Washington? Now you got three teams in the NFC East, you know, between Dallas and Philadelphia, now Washington. You got the Central or the North that's actually turning out to be a really good division. So you have so many more teams that are challenging for a playoff spot in the NFC versus the AFC. That plays a big role.
It does. So let's talk about the NFC East matchup, 1 o'clock in Giant Stadium, because I look at the number and it's a little off, I think. You got the Eagles, even though they won, they didn't get the cover against Cleveland, 20-16. You have the Giants right now that did lose as a 3.5-point dog against Cincinnati, right? 17-7. They're 0-3 at home, just like the Dallas Cowboys. And yet Philly's just a 3-point road favorite in terms of a divisional game with Saquon coming back in regards to that matchup. Yeah. Don't you think that's a light number?
That is. And there'll be just as many Eagle fans there, or quite a few anyway. Let's put it that way.
How is that a 3-point number, Scott? I mean, at worst, Dallas was a 5.5-point favorite when they played on Thursday night. Right?
Right.
They just lost to Cincinnati. Yeah. That was 1-4. The Eagles laying 3? Should be laying at least 4.5, 5.
It's perception. Perception is the Giants stink, and they probably do, right? Although they've had a couple decent performances, and they went toe-to-toe with Cincinnati, right? They just couldn't score. And the perception is Philadelphia is the same team that went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, which clearly they're not. Jalen Hurts' numbers on the road, not good at all. But I understand why that 9 is what it is, just because of that. Giants are actually halfway decent, and the Eagles really aren't. Most people are going to win by Philadelphia laying the 3.
You sure about that? Let's see. Yep, 81. Well, yeah. According to the duel, 81% of the spread, 81% of the bets on Philly. Now, I always say when the book is putting out that information, take it with a grain of salt. But, it is what it is. I do like the over. I do, this is one of my overs that I actually like. 43.5, Saquon's going to be motivated. The fact that Jalen was a little rusty in regards to the first half of that matchup, did get going with A.J. Brown. They hits the big play over the top on the third down to allow them to close that play out. Devontae Smith hit pay dirt. 43.5. I mean, Daniel Jones threw for, 208 on Sunday night? Got to get better. Right. Got to have a better effort. And I fought with all the Eagle fans on the network, Donnie and Kevin. They said that Deshaun Watson didn't look good. I thought he looked good in the second half. That might have been the best Deshaun Watson looked in the fourth quarter. He was running. He was throwing. He threw for 160 in that game. He hit Judy, put his team in a position. I'm not sold that Philly's defense is elite, Scott. I'm not.
Well, I'll say this quickly about the Browns. I looked it up, Joe. They got 8 touchdowns in 6 games, 2 by the defense. So now you're down to 6 touchdowns, 3 when it was like, oh, by the way, they've legitimately scored 2 touchdowns on offensive drives, 2 all year. So
terrible, terrible,
terrible.
We'll be back tomorrow, week number 7 on the horizon. For Scott Wetzel, Danny Ohlers, I'm Lisi. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.